Hey, welcome to the Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch here. Going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And we open here tonight, I'm looking into this film, The 300, and there is a new 300 movie, Rise of an Empire. The 300, Rise of an Empire. After Xerxes' father, Darius, is killed by the Greeks during the Battle of Marathon, he seeks to become a god and eventually comes face-to-face with the Athenian commander. So there's a lot of Greek history, and I don't want to start the show with a lot of mind-blowing horse dung, which, and I shouldn't say it's horse dung. It's horse dung in my head. Between my ears, classical history does become horse dung. But I was trying to at least make an effort at understanding this movie, because there's been a lot of controversy insofar as some people think it's not good history, and that's nothing new. I mean, if you're watching a movie, please understand you're not going to be getting any. It's not, that doesn't replace like reading a book or going to class and learning the history of something. It's just not, it doesn't do it. You know, some people say, did you read up on John Dillinger? Well, I saw the movie. Well, I'm sorry, that's not going to get it done. You saw the movie.
Well, what is this film, The 300?
There's a movie about a warrior and everything.
Well, there's more to it than that.
Yeah, but that's the only part anybody cares about.
Yeah. I mean, you go see a movie, they kicked ass.
They kicked ass on what?
They kicked ass on the Persian army. But there's a lot of different Greeks that kicked a lot of different ass on the Persians, and they also kicked their own asses.
And what did... What, you see, you're not making it... They kicked a lot of different ass.
They kicked Persian ass and Greek ass.
Yes. They kicked Persian ass and Greek ass.
Uh-huh. You know, I'm reminded, and I don't want this to I don't want this to devolve into something childish, but when you say they kicked Greek ass, and then this one over here looked me up and down, I'm not saying it was sexual, but are you remembering what I was talking about, Stavo?
No, Margaret, we're not remembering your Greek boyfriend.
I didn't say my Greek boyfriend. I said...
Well, I'm going to talk about that. Yeah, I don't want to talk about that either, okay?
Oh, well, okay.
Well, Margaret, I'm talking about a movie here and warfare.
Well, a lot of ways, if you talk about Margaret having a guy touch her while he's eating a sandwich, that's like warfare.
Hey!
Where does he... What right do you have to speak of me that way and a man that I love?
Why are we talking about the man you love? The guy that was eating a sandwich while he was making love to you? We're talking about a movie.
You said Greek.
So? There's a lot of things that are Greek and got nothing to do with, you know...
Cucumber sauce.
Boy, I'm gonna...
Hey!
Don't you ever talk about my life like that.
Nobody's bringing up your private life. You did. So, the movie is called 300 Rise of an Empire, and just as soon as we sort out all the history, we'd be more than happy not to talk about it. No, we will. It's whatever. We were looking at the preview of the thing, man. It looked pretty good. Looked like all the special effects and all that, you know. Looks kind of cool, you know, like knives and blood and stuff. Hey, it looked really bitchin', man. But it has to do with the...
Right here, see, right? It says the Greco-Pergian War. And here.
Can you take that out of my face?
What?
Can you take that out of my face, man? Thank you. The Greco-Persian Wars are often called the Persian Wars, were a series of conflicts between... The Empire of Persia and the city-states of the Hellenic world that started in 499 and lasted till another time, and the collision became the fractious political thing, and that's where that's at, man. It's a lot easier to watch a movie. Anyway, welcome to the program here, Phil Hendry Show, and philhendryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you are, of course, privy to the video cast of our show as well as the audio archives of our show. We were talking during the pre-show. And I was telling my backstage pass members during the pre-show, and I will let you guys know, that there will be no interruption whatsoever in the flow, in the beautiful river-like, babbling brook-like flow of the Phil Hendry Show, so that when the last show of the Phil Hendry Show on the Talk Radio Network platform is on the 24th, and then we will continue on the next night with a radio show. So there's not going to be any interruption whatsoever. It will be as seamless as can be. And of course, we will look to uplift and to improve and to embellish and all of those marvelous things in order to make it a much more enjoyable experience for you. And there's going to be some, I think, some fun things, some promotional things we're going to do in terms of the website and the video cast especially. We're going to have a major announcement concerning that All of it together is, I think, spelling lots of fun and a cool, groovy time, you know. So,
well, yeah, people are going to enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, what business are we in here? Huh? What business are we in?
Entertainment business.
Exactly. We're in the entertainment business, so our job is to entertain people. So they shouldn't have to worry about a thing, the people out there. They got to sit back, just enjoy. We need to keep, then that's what we're going to do, you know.
We're going to entertain people, and we're going to continue to entertain people, and we're going to continue to entertain people. And by God, Phil, if I've got anything to say about it, we will continue and continue and continue until I don't care if I'm bleeding. You know how I have a heavy flow every month.
All right, please.
No, the point that I'm making, I don't care if I'm bleeding through.
You'll show up for the show.
I'll show up for the show.
God.
What's God mean?
What about the chair?
Oh, the chair.
We're not going to talk about the chair. Do you understand? We're not talking about the chair.
I don't mind. I left a stain on the... So what?
Do you mind, please?
There's a big stain on a chair. A big stain and everything.
Well, what are you yelling about it for? I told you not to bring it up.
I told you I've got a heavy flow. And if I left a stain, I left a stain. Take the chair and throw it in the street for all I care. Sick of it.
You know, Margaret, you're an amazing person, you know.
Okay, you finally got that out because, you know, Margaret, you're an amazing person. What?
You're an amazing person, and you get very upset when people bring up personal things about you, and yet you willingly throw it out there. I have a heavy flow. I left a stain on a chair.
I didn't sit there, Phil, and go, I have a heavy flow. Yes, I'm saying that I'm willing to bleed to death for your lousy show. I'm going to the toilet.
No tampons in there.
I didn't ask for a tampon, did I?
Oh, God.
Well, I mean, you ought to know now.
What? I didn't say anything, man. All I said was we work our asses off to entertain, and she comes in with, well, I don't care if I bleed through.
Talking about the pants in the chair.
I know what she's talking about. So anyway, well, there you have it, folks. That's one angle on it. That's one aspect of it. The Phil Hendry Show, willing to bleed through a perfectly good pair of slacks. Now then.
God!
I'm kidding around. All right, so that's that on that movie 300. And having talked about it as much as we have, I don't think I'm going to see it. In fact, I wouldn't go near it. I wouldn't go near it with your eyes, bud. That's just that's all I'm saying.
You wouldn't go near it with my eyeball, huh?
Not with your one eyeball or the other. Not with both of them. An explosion rocked a Westminster neighborhood in Colorado around 11:35 this morning, prompting evacuation over a large area. At least one structure was blown to pieces, with others heavily damaged. The source of the blast was thought to be at 9306 Ingle Street. The two owners of the destroyed home were out at the time and are safe. God, how'd you like to come home to your house blown to bits?
No, I'm always worried about that, man.
I know, I'm always worried about that. Every time, I don't know why it is, but... I worry that I'm going to come home to a house that's burned to the ground. Now, what is that? What's the source of that phobia?
Well, it's like the time that that lady, there was a dog in the dryer.
There was a dog in the dryer?
Yeah, that lady, she was afraid there'd be a dog in the dryer, but there never was a dog in the dryer.
What are you guys talking about?
Don't you remember that show?
That lady didn't put a dog in the dryer. She was afraid she'd find a dog in the dryer, and that's because she saw some show about a dog in a dryer. Isn't that it?
Yeah, she saw a show about a dog in the dryer, but that dog had not been in the dryer.
That dog hadn't been. So, in other words, it was somebody's phobia.
Yeah.
I'm back from the toilet because I heard this and I know this story. It was a woman that was afraid of putting a dog in a dryer because she had heard someone was afraid of a dog in a dryer. So she would check her dryer to see if there was a dog in there. And there never was.
Was there ever a dog in any dryer anywhere?
No, not in her recollection. Maybe in the history of the world, yes.
In the history of the world, of course.
Well, no, what do you mean, of course? You don't know for sure.
Well, never mind. So, in other words, this lady was phobic about something that had never happened to her and that had never happened to anybody that she'd ever heard of.
Exactly. And that's maybe what's happening to you. You're afraid of your home being burned to the ground because you heard of a home being burned to the ground and you don't know anyone whose home was burned to the ground. You see, it's very interesting that way, Phil. It's a phobia based on fear that is based almost on a beautiful, pure, almost Christian stupidity. You know, there's a purity to how dumb you are. Not you, Phil.
All right, I understand.
No, I'm not insulting you.
Well, yes, you are. Here's the thing about me. I worry that I'm going to come home to my house burned to the ground. Why? Not because I'm imagining things, but because I actually went to work one day. I had an afternoon shift at a radio station. That morning, I had put in the pan on my stove 2 eggs to boil, and I was going to have 2 hard-boiled eggs and eat them in the car on the way to work. For whatever reason, I forgot that that pan was boiling on the stove, that those eggs were in the, you know, in that pan, and I drove off to the radio station that day.
What station was it?
It was K-West, KWST here in Los Angeles. I was doing a Saturday afternoon shift. With about an hour to go in the show, I suddenly remembered, oh my God, I left that pan on the stove, and I had a little kitten that I had just gotten, a little cat. I gave him the name something like Eddie or Bob. I never know how to name pets.
What is it with you with these pet names? You give them human names.
What's wrong with that? A lot of people give human names. I never know what to name cats or dogs. So I call them Joe, Charlie, something. I don't know. And this cat was named Frank or Warren.
Warren?
Yeah, I don't know. I named it something like that. I think I named it after a president. I think I named it Theodore or Abraham, something. So anyway, I had this little cat, and I finally race home thinking, oh my God, please no. And I get to my house. I got a break. We'll break, Dan. And I bust down the door, and I run in, and sure enough, the pan is dry. The egg is, like, burning. But the house is full of smoke, but the little cat's okay because he went to sleep under the bed and probably didn't even know anything about it. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our
my bitch. House?
Yeah.
The Phil
like
Hendry Show.
Oh, God.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So, I mean, the upshot of the story that I was telling, and nice to have you guys with us. We're on, by the way, live streaming video on philhendryshow.com, is the...
Wait, hold on for just a minute.
Can I finish the story?
Hold on, Phil. You said, all right, the last thing we were talking about, live streaming video, philhendryshow.com, is...
Yeah, it was all messed up and everything.
It was like a series of non sequiturs.
Yeah, I'll start all over again, Mr. Hendry.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I was coming out saying, it's the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, and?
I can do it, Margaret.
Hold on. And the Phil Hendry Show and?
What are you doing?
Hold on. The red line's going.
What's going on now?
Get David up here, will you?
Yeah, David.
Yeah, Margaret. Margaret has the green light from me to take you step by step through the thought process, so that when you are speaking on the air, you logically go from one thought to the other.
And why does she have that green light? Because I'm brain damaged?
I don't know what the problem is, Phil. But you just gave there was an example of it there. You went, "Hi, it's Phil Hendry. Website, gotta go get one." Oh, and then fire, and it was completely jacked over.
Yeah, it really was, Mr. Hendry.
No, it was not. Not that bad.
I'm telling you, and so I don't... Look, I don't want to argue about it, because Daphne wants to go get Taco Lita. But I...
Well, you know something? Why don't you take your girlfriend to get the Taco Lita, okay?
My girlfriend?
They're engaged, Phil.
Oh, well, excuse me. Your fiancé?
Yeah, thank you. And there's something wrong with her eating Taco Lita? Because it sounds to me, I heard... In your voice, there was a mocking tone, as if you were mocking how, you know... There was a fat mockingness there.
There was in the tone of your voice, Phil, there was the mocking of fat.
Yeah.
Goodbye, David.
Wait a minute, you can't hang up on me. I own 51%.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, so you hung up on him.
Yeah, go ahead and lead me step by step, whatever it is he was saying.
Yeah, what if he calls back on account of Taco Lita and...
Never mind, bud, okay? Go ahead.
All right. So, welcome back...
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, stop there. Where are you going next? Where are you going next?
To the website.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You know our website now.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You know our website is a great place, and we'd like you to watch our video cast.
Stop. Now you're going where?
To the subject of the fire.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You know our website is really great, and we have our video cast. Now I'd like to talk about the fire.
Now I'd like to talk about the fire.
I had a kitten named Frank.
I had a kitten. Get out of here. I'm not doing this.
Well, I'm trying to help you, Phil.
It's not helping me. It's confusing me. In any event, I had a kitten named... Forget about the kitten. In any event, so now when I drive home, I'm afraid that my house is burned to the ground because I boiled an egg too long and there was smoke in my apartment.
Hey.
Thank you.
That's all you had to say.
I'll thank you to keep out of my business. I'll thank you to stay out of my private affairs, bud.
Private about that?
Never mind.
All right. So in Colorado, Westminster, Colorado, these folks come home and they don't just find smoke from an egg they were boiling. They just don't find perhaps, maybe smoke from a cigarette in an ashtray. No, they find their whole house blown right off the foundation. Emergency evacuation calls went out to residents in the area between 92nd Avenue and 96th Avenue and Pierce Street and whatever. The evacuation orders have been lifted, but two streets remain closed. So there was an explosion on the street. Several residents in the area said they smelled gas in the air before the explosion, and in fact, the explosion is thought to be related to natural gas. XL teams were on the scene to investigate. I guess that's the gas provider. No one was hurt. No one killed. There were two people who suffered injuries, but nobody killed. That's pretty fortunate. But, I mean, like I said, I don't leave the house now, and I used to turn around and go back. And because I would be afraid, oh God, what did I leave on? What did I, I left something on. I better go back and double check. It got to be like almost an OCD thing.
What's that?
OCD is when it's obsessive compulsive, meaning this would be, if I kept going back, if I kept driving away from my house and turning around after two blocks and going back to check to see if anything was on fire, that would become obsessive compulsive.
Yes, but what if you went back and found something on fire?
Every time?
Yeah, every time.
What do you mean every time? How's that possible every time?
I'm asking, if you turn around after two blocks and you go back, Phil, try not to get so upset with everything.
These questions are they come from Mars, They're just out of the blue.
Why is it? I'm asking a very simple question. If you go back every time you leave the house and after two blocks, you turn around and you go back.
Yeah.
And the house is in flames. Are you obsessive compulsive, or are you prescient, prognosticative, and perhaps even psychic?
If every time I left my house...
Phil, answer the question, please.
Hold on. If every time I left my house, and I came back every time, and it was burning every time, I would need to be in some kind of an asylum, because I'm obviously setting fire to my own house.
And coming back and seeing that it's on fire. So the point is, there is a part of you that's very healthy.
Yeah, there's a part of you that's Smokey the Bear, that you do what Smokey the Bear says.
Right. No, there's a part of me that's an idiot. There's a part of me that's burning my house down, and there's another part of me that's going back and going, woo, my house is on fire. There's a combination OCD, firebug, moron, I don't know what you call that. That's just flat weird. All right, let's bring on Jay Santos.
Speaking of flat weird...
Well, Jay, how you doing?
I'm doing good, and thank you very much, Margaret, for that intro.
Well, Jay, you've got to admit, a lot of people think some of your methods are very extreme. Let me ask you, the scenario that I just painted for Phil, what do you think?
Well, I think the scenario you just painted there is, I think I would have to go along with what you said, Phil, which was, if a man leaves his house and decides, oh, God, and I've seen a lot of people do that. I did that myself not too long ago, about a year ago. We had had a problem because I had been doing some artwork. We were creating overhang kind of a deal, an arbor. If you know about an arbor, Mr. Henry?
That's for like roses or flowers?
Right. You grow vines and everything. We were creating an arbor for my wife for a flower party or some kind of a garden flower, celebration of the flower that she was having in our backyard, and I was using acetylene torch to do some of the welding and melding it all together. And I left the acetylene torch on and set fire to a series of paintings that were not very valuable. We picked them up at a yard sale. But because of a certain kind of oil that was in the paintings, they caught fire rapidly and burned a good half of the garage to the ground before. Well, yeah, I tell you, it was scary, Phil. And
this was how long ago?
About a year ago. So what happened now is when I leave the house, I have that sense. I can smell paintings burning. I can almost smell my own you know, in my own self. I can smell my own BO. I can, everything is heightened and enhanced. So I turn around and go back to the house, and to this day, nothing else has ever been on fire. So I feel that I'm mentally cuckoo, and I don't know the term.
Well, hold on. Let's talk about mentally cuckoo.
What does that mean?
I don't know the term, but I feel as if I've gone cuckoo. And
all right, hold on. We'll talk about it. Jay Santos, as we talk about obsessive-compulsive disorder, fires, and fire safety. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You feel like mentally cuckoo?
Phil Henry.
That's what he said.
Back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Jay has often been on our program. I was just thinking, Jay, over the years, you have been on our show. It all started back in 1996 with the founding of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
That's right, Phil.
And you guys have been on our show. I think we had a Major Newton on one time for a variety of safety issues and a variety of covering a variety of different stories. And you have been a part of all of these stories of disasters, stories of safety. I remember when the rains hit.
Well, you know, rain is very important because a lot of people, I think the Citizens Auxiliary Police is all about law enforcement and take a peek over a shoulder. You know, but it's really...
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but taking a peek over the shoulder of the police, meaning acting as police officers as well as safety, sort of safety advisors.
Well, that's true. I mean, we do flare drops, Phil, for a variety of things. We'll do a flare drop. Generally, the flare drops we do...
And explain the flare drop.
Well, flare drop is when we drop a flare. We will drop a series of flares on a street or on a freeway, and that will then funnel down and funnel down and funnel down the traffic until it's all funneled down, and the traffic is down for, you know...
It's down in one lane.
What's that?
It's down... Just talk about it's down in one lane.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Bud. It's down in one lane. And by the way, I know your name is Bud, B-U-D. All people say, is his name Bud? And no, it's not B-U, it's B-U-D, and I just want everyone to know that.
Yeah.
But we funnel the traffic down, and a flare drop funnels it down and funnels it down until it's funneled down. And,
Then what?
Yes, then what?
Then what? What?
So you funneled the traffic down to perform a certain task, right?
That's right. We funnel it down and funnel it down, and then it's funneled down.
We understand about being funneled down, Jay.
All right, and then it's funneled down to, I'm trying to remember, like, the thing, what we do.
Well, like, for instance, you were checking the vans.
That's right. We'll funnel it down and funnel it down, and then it's funneled down. And one time we checked a van. We were checking the undercarriage of vans to make sure the axle strength was solid because a lot of the mothers, the soccer moms and so on and so forth, have a tendency to be overweight. They have a tendency to try to camouflage it by wearing a tight pair of jeans and maybe some heels and try to look all, you know, hot and everything, but still they're too large. And we know it. They know it. You know it. The kids know it. I think that's probably the worst of it, Phil. When we were doing the van checks and doing the axle checks, when we had mothers in those vans that were very large, and again, they would get out of the van. I'd say, I appreciate you wearing the heels, and I appreciate you spraying on those pants, but everyone can see that your butt probably exceeds dimension, and they get very angry. But when we get the children out of the van...
Now, hold on. I want to ask a question. You say to these women as they're getting out of the van, your butt exceeds dimension. Are you talking about some actual legal restriction, or are you talking about some random, arbitrary... restriction that you and the Citizens
Auxiliary Police.
Yes, and the Citizens Auxiliary Police put on it.
Well, Margaret, let me see. There's nothing random. What we do is based on safety.
Because I've heard many people complaining about the quasi-legality of the things you do.
And that's the thing that I want to tell. Yeah, I think we've gotten a bad rap.
Well, there are people that say you guys will exceed your authority, if you have indeed any authority at all, because you just decide arbitrarily, well, this is what it has to be. For instance, a woman gets out of a van with tight jeans and heels, but her butt's too big. Well, who says, you know?
Who says? Let me ask you something. Have you ever pulled a child out of a van and a child is frightened and scared? as hold on to a teddy bear, hold on to a little stuffed dog, or whatever they have. And you look at a little baby child, and you go, honey, are you okay? And they'll go, and they won't say nothing, and they're glancing over at their mother. And they're glancing over, and they know, they have a sense, they have a sensibility that the axle is going to give.
Oh, that's ass. How does a child know that?
Yeah, you can't know about a kid.
I'm telling you right now, kids have a sixth sense. And
well, yeah, I agree with Margaret and Bud. That's you. How do you know the kid is afraid of that?
If you ask a child to clutch onto a little stuffed bear, and you say to that child, are you afraid of something, honey? What's wrong? And they're, is it your mom's butter? I won't say that.
Well, see, there you are. You're leading them.
You're prompting that child to say something that is negative about that child's mother's body, and is it your mother's butt? That's what you're saying. And the child will obviously nod up and down to get your approval.
Well, what does the child want my approval for? You know?
The kid is scared. You can say, well, is your mother's butt scaring you? And the kid, yeah.
Okay. Kid should say no. The kid could say no. That's not it. Your breath scares me. Or the sky. You know, what are you afraid of? The sky?
That's ridiculous. What kid's going to be afraid of a sky?
Well, I'm just saying. So, in other words, the kid would be afraid. And all what we're trying to do, Phil, is in the 16 years, 17 years, I don't have, 20 years, however many it's been.
Well, it's been 17.
Yeah, okay, it's been 17. Whatever, good for you. You can do, you know how to do math, Big wow,
I'm not saying it to impress you. I'm saying you were looking for the number.
Right, okay. So 17 years that we've been doing the Citizens Auxiliary Police, I think we've developed a rapport with kids, and I know how to read a little kid. And the kid gets out of the van, scared, clutching onto a little stuffed dog, sucking on a thumb, eating a lollipop, looking at the sky, whatever they do, and they're either one of two things. They're autistic, or they're frightened to death that an axle's going to give. And
we're talking about autistic, man. How do you know about that?
Well, because the kid's not acting normal.
All right, so that's an example of you guys coming up with some kind of a, you come up with some rationale that nobody in their right mind might come up with. And, with all due respect, Jay, I think it's off the charts.
Well, you do your job, I do my job. It's as simple as that. You do your job, I do my job. But
Well, you're not doing your job very well if you're reading into a child's frightened look that he's afraid the axle's going to give on his mother's van. I don't think it's appropriate. I don't think it's safe.
Well, duly noted, but that's why we're Citizens Auxiliary Police. We go our own way. And you may remember that song by Fleetwood Mac. You can go your own way, because you're the singer, Margaret. You know that song?
Yes, I know the song.
How's it go? It goes, go your own way.
Yes, you can go your own way. And it's about going your own way.
That's what Citizens Auxiliary Police does.
Well, no, you don't. You don't go your own way the way they said to go your own way in the song. The song is about love. And the song is about love lost. Love and love lost and the love of a love lost,
Yeah, and the love of a love lost. I'll go your own way.
Boy, I really feel sorry for you, Phil. I haven't listened to that gobbledygook. Yeah.
Well, Jay, we started out with you talking about some kid getting out of a van scared to death that his mother's ass is so big the axle's going to give. So I don't see where you have any cause to be criticizing someone's reading of Go Your Own Way by Fleetwood Mac.
That he did?
Yes, Fleetwood, you didn't know that.
I know, done it. It's from Fleetwood Mac, huh?
Yeah, Fleetwood Mac.
I thought Go Your Own Way was, I don't know who it was, Patty Page or something.
No, it wasn't Patty Page. All right. So, Jay, the fire or the explosion, now that we've gotten that out of the way, God.
What, are you, you're still going to talk to it?
Hey, ma'am, I don't like being called it.
Yeah, let's not say that.
I'm sorry, you're still going to talk to him?
And I'm here, I'm not third person.
Is he still going to talk to you, Jay?
Yes.
That answer your question?
Fine.
All right, so, Jay, I wanted to ask you, explosions of the kind we saw this afternoon in Colorado, thank God there was no one killed. Is there any way that how safe can we be? Do we have these gas appliances and these heating units, etc.? Do we have them checked on a regular basis? How does one go about ensuring that this devastating situation doesn't occur? An explosion. Thank God there was nobody home.
Well, Phil, that is very, very true. If a house explodes, and I mean blows right off, and I've got to look at a couple things there as a member of Citizens Auxiliary Police. So I'm parked across the street. And I'm looking at houses, and a lot of times we will be on that kind of patrol. We'll just park and we'll look to see if anything blows up. And what we're looking for, I want to see what happens before it blows up. Is there someone running from the house? do I see the house at the beginning suck in and then suck out and then blow up? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Well, for instance, if you see the walls of a house suddenly suck in as if there's air being sucked out of the house, and you see that for a half a second, and then the house blows up, that tells me that there's been a change in air pressure in the house. And so I'm looking for that. If I see someone run from the house, then the house blow up. If I see a flash behind a certain window and the house blows up. If I don't see anything, but I smell perfume or something fragrant, the house blow up. If I smell something like it's bad smelling and the house blow up. These are all things that I'm waiting to see when a house blows up.
Well, are you just sitting? I don't understand. Is he sitting on the street?
You're sitting out on the street.
That's correct, yes. We're just sitting on the street looking at houses.
Well, how do you know it's going to blow up?
I don't.
So you're just sitting staring at houses?
Well, we're not just sitting staring at houses the way you put it, Mr. Henry. You make it sound like we're a bunch of Gloids sort of parked on a park bench having lunch, you know, eating on a sandwich or something.
I don't like the term Gloid.
Don't use that term, please.
I apologize, but the way you're making it sound is if we're on some picnic and there's a lady there who has all the bologna and there's a lady there with the buns and the hot dogs showing us how to put the hot dog into the bun.
And I don't like that either.
Ma'am, that is that...
No, I just don't like the sexual imagery of that. Could you please, you...
Margaret, now that's on you.
Yeah, that is on you. Come up with that. So what I would say is what we do is sit and stare at houses and we take notes. Now, we have had police come by and say, what are you doing sitting here? And I'll say, hey, you know, that's free country. And a cop will say one more smart answer like that. And that's what I got to say. I'm with Citizens Auxiliary Police. We're waiting for a house to blow up. And, of course, we've been arrested.
Well, you're going to say something like that to a cop. He's going to check you out. And, of course, he's going to arrest you.
Well, we got arrested on suspicion. They didn't find anything, and I tried to tell them, we're not trying to blow a house up. We're sitting here waiting to see if one blows up so we can see the telltale signs of the house blowing up.
If you see a guy running from a house and then it blows up, what's the first thing you do?
We make a note of that. We make a...
You wouldn't chase the man?
I'm sorry?
You wouldn't go after the man that you saw running from the house?
Well, that never occurred to me. All we're trying to do...
Never occurred to you, you idiot. You see a guy run from a house. What an idiot.
Shut up, bud, okay?
Now, no, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm there to see what the telltale signs of a house blowed up is. I'm not there to necessarily do anything about it. If I see a guy run from a house, if I see a bird escape, if I hear a dog bark, I'm saying, okay, a dog bark, house blows up. Now I've seen that 3, 4, 5 times. We have 5 houses blow up in the last 5 years, and every single time a dog barked and then the house blew up. Dog barks and the house blow up. Does that tell me that the dog has dog has something to do with it? Sorry. Does that tell me that the dog has? I'm talking too much, Mr. Henry. I'm starting to stutter. I'm not allowed to talk this much. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I gotta go.
What's that about?
I don't know. I thought that he did say that he had a condition. If he talks too much, starts to stutter.
He's got a condition. If he talks too much, he starts to stutter.
Yeah, it's just been diagnosed.
Okay, because he was getting into some really good stuff there. A dog barks and the house blows up. A dog barks and the house blows up. 5 straight years of dogs barking and houses blowing up.
Well, it sounded like he was going to say that the dog may have something to do with it, but I...
The dog might have something to do with it.
The dog? Phil, I'm just trying to interpret what that imbecile said. You're the one that books this, Jack Bald, not me. Thank you.
Well, that's the truth. All right, let's take a break. World-famous Phil Henry Show. So there's some safety tips for you, folks. If you see a guy running from a house, a dog barking, a flash behind a window, a bird, all of this may mean a house is going to blow up. Oh, man. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The yep. Phil Henry Show.
About a house blowing up, all I'm trying to say is, if I see a bird escape from a cage...
Phil Henry Show.
Hey, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. You know, today I was having some lunch with my my old friend Elise from San Diego, and we were talking because I used to work down in San Diego back in the day at KGB, which is and was one of the preeminent rock stations in America. I don't know so much these days. Things have changed so much. Music has changed so much. But during the heyday, during the glory days of album rock radio, and every city has their great station, you know.
Well, like, for instance, Cleveland. What would Cleveland's be?
WMMS.
WMMS, and that was the one that had, I love the name, Kid Leo, right?
Kid Leo was their program director, actually the music director, then I think he became program director. He was legendary, Kid Leo. Kid Leo, and Cleveland became quite a legendary city in the annals of rock and roll, not only because of Alan Freed's Moondoggy Show, which was the 50s, the Alan Freed radio show in the 50s in Cleveland, but then WMMS was a big album rock station, and many of the bands began to mention Cleveland in their songs, and so on and so forth. So, yeah, MMS, if you lived in... Did I say MMS or MMR?
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about there's two stations. There was MMS in Cleveland. I think MMR was Philly, and New York had WNEW, and L.A. had KMET, and San Francisco had KSAN, and Miami was... WSHE, and in San Diego, it was KGB. And so I was there for just, I was a weekend jock.
But you did know Bree Walker, and I'd like to get into that now if I might, Phil.
Hold on, I don't want to talk about Bree Walker. I'm talking about something else.
Bree Walker was a darling girl.
Yes, she was.
And she suffered from, I shouldn't say suffered from, she did have that birth defect.
Bree had a birth defect that affected her hands, yeah. She's a gorgeous chick. I shouldn't say, I mean, she's a newswoman. She's a very, very beautiful woman. And went from San Diego to L.A. and did news anchoring duties and became very prominent in Los Angeles and San Diego. It was outstanding and a hell of a nice lady, too. I always liked Brie and always felt she was just a terrific woman. And married to Jim Lampley. I don't know if they still are. I Jim Lampley, the sports guy. But back at KGB, she did a weekend show.
So she did a disc jockey show.
She was a disc jockey way back when I was there, and this is like 1980. And she came in to do the show after me on weekends for a couple, 3 weekends. I was doing like noon to 6, and she came on at 6 o'clock. And that's where I met her. And so there were a lot of moments like that. KGB had, here's the thing I wanted to mention.
Well, what about the first time you shook hands with her?
Will you stop?
Talk about shaking hands with her.
No, I'm not going to. Bree, if you're listening, love you. Anyway, there was also a phenomenon there in San Diego at KGB called the KGB chicken. You hear about this?
Heard about a chicken, yeah.
Everybody knows about a chicken.
Everybody knows about a chicken. What,
Yeah.
Well, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about the KGB chicken.
What's the difference between that and any other chicken?
It was a mascot.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like Kentucky Fried.
You're not talking about lunch.
No, I ain't talking about lunch. Are you guys stupid or something?
Phil, they're not the same generation as you.
All right, I'm sorry. The KGB chicken was the first of the great funny mascots. And for my money, it was the only funny mascot. I haven't seen a mascot come along as funny as the KGB chicken. Now, the KGB chicken was a promotional idea that was Rick Liepert's idea. He was the program director at the time at KGB in the 70s. And he had this idea of getting a guy from San Diego State. They hired a guy, Ted Gianolis was his name, and he got into this chicken costume and went out to personal appearances, went out to promotional events for KGB radio as the KGB chicken and performed in this costume, in this mascot outfit, and was hysterically funny. I mean, the guy was funny, and the dude went to ball games, and he went to all kinds of events, and gradually began to create the personality of the chicken, and to the point where it began to transcend whatever KGB had in mind. This guy, Gianolis, had created a funny mascot. He was literally creating the modern comic mascot, to the point where he said, I've created this character, it belongs to me. I'm going to go out on my own as the San Diego chicken. I'm no longer going to be the KGB chicken. And there was a big legal hassle, and as you might well imagine, and he won, the right to go out as the San Diego chicken. And that's kind of the story.
So that's the idiot in the suit.
Oh, yeah, I've seen a guy in a chicken suit, yeah.
That's the guy.
That guy's hysterical, man. I've seen that guy lap my ass off of that guy.
But, so what he did, though, he's funny. I've seen him. He's very funny. But he stole that, didn't he?
No, he did not steal it. He went to court and won the rights to it fair and square. What he did was, he said, this character that I've created goes far beyond what KGB ever envisioned. I've actually literally created this character. They gave me a chicken suit. I created a character. And he was right. He was absolutely right. And the judge agreed, or the jury, or whoever the hell was there.
Was it a jury trial or was it a judge trial? I often find that there's a difference that...
Well, you never mind, bud. I don't know if it was a judge or jury trial, but the fact is, whoever it was agreed with him. A judge, a jury, something. And so, that was the end of that, and he went out and became the San Diego Chicken.
Yeah, that guy's a riot, man. Let's see, I got all the chicken events.
But I have no chicken event.
He doesn't have to just go to chicken events. He's the chicken.
But he doesn't have to just go to events that entail chickens.
What does that mean?
So like a chicken shack opening.
No, man. What a waste. Hey, you're this here's your chicken suit, but only go to chicken events. No. No. All right, we're coming back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show on this here Thursday night, philhenryshow.com. Coming up, Soledad O'Brien is joining Bryant Gumbel on HBO's Real Sports. There's a little bit of show busy news for you and more. More on 300 and the new movie, The 300 Empire,
Phil
and me.
Henry.